We are working our way through the early parts of Genesis, reminded that God created a man, a woman, created marriage. The man and the woman marry, have family. God did not put Adam and Eric in the garden to marry. He did not put Eve and Helen to marry. He put a man and a woman. And that's the way it's to be. It's God ordained. And the woman became a mother. We read through the Bible about the leadership of men, but you know who really rules the world? Women. Women influence men more than anything else in life. Women hold in the palms of their hands the moral integrity of a people. Men follow the morality of women. If women hold a high standard, men follow. It's interesting that we men talk about leadership, but actually, it's the women who rule our lives because they are able to influence. And you think about mothers, it's their influence that really counts. Been interesting to me to watch a football game or a baseball game, and a guy runs for a touchdown. And he comes back to the bench, and the camera zooms in on him, and he turns around. What does he say?
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. Over and over. Hi, Mom. Sure. Well, she is influencing his life. And we all do influence each other. Even in our silence, no matter what we're doing, we are influencing someone else. We need to remember that. That our lives do count, whether we know it or not. Now this morning we're going to consider life after the flood. What a momentous time historically that Noah and his wife, three sons and daughters have been in the ark. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. The waters covered the earth to above 20 feet above the mountains, and the rains cease, and they are in the ark 150 days, and they come out of the ark. Now, everything's going to be new. There are no other people, and what the terrain looked like, we don't know. It rested upon the mountains of Ararat. And it's interesting to remember how many expeditions have been made in the attempt to find Noah's Ark. And pilots have taken pictures of what they said would be a part of the Ark. No one has ever really found it. I hope they don't. I hope we don't find Noah's Ark, because somebody would commercialize it and chop it up into pieces and sell it. Did you know that early in Europe that people claimed that they found pieces of the original cross and they sold the pieces and they had enough pieces to make several homes? So I hope we don't find the Ark. It would become so commercial. It's by faith. We believe in the flood. We believe about Noah and the ark because of what the Word of God says. Now, let's turn to Genesis 6:18. And it's the beginning of God's covenants. Genesis 6:18. God made covenants. And this is the beginning of his covenant with Noah. And we won't get the context, but 18 is enough. where God is speaking to Noah, but I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now his covenant is this. He's going to destroy every human being but these people. And he's going to save them and take them through the judgment. That's his covenant. Now, what is a covenant? We say in our Bible we have Old Testament and New Testament. We could rightly say we have Old Covenant and New Covenant. The main covenant in the Old Testament being the law, the new covenant of grace in Christ. And as you read and study and go through your Christian life, you'll come to find out that there are two schools of thought about this. There are those who call themselves covenant theologians. These are mainly Presbyterians, Episcopals, Lutheran people, and so on. They study the Bible by covenants. The Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and so on. Now there's another school of thought called dispensational people. They study the Bible by dispensation, saying there is a period of time when God did this and then he did that. So they go by these time periods. The main difference is how these groups come out about the future, the study of eschatology. It is the dispensational people who peddle prophecy, who make movies, and who sell books and tapes. And many of them, all they do is study future prophecy. And they come out with the events of the next thing is the rapture, tribulation period, Antichrist, and so on. They make a big deal of that. Covenant people are rather quiet about the future and say, we believe in the second coming of Christ. So you'll run across this as you study and listen. Covenants. God makes covenants. Now, here he made covenants that we're going to read about. And a covenant is binding. It is not negotiable. It is not optional. It's a command, an arrangement by God that we are to follow. Now this morning, I wanted to go through with you the specific elements in these covenants given to Noah. Now, number one, and you have this on the back of the bulletin, number one is God's preservation of Noah. God said, I will take you through this. So we read then that Noah is saved. Look at Genesis 8:18. In Genesis 8:18, we read, so Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife with him. So God said, I'll save you. That's my covenant. Now the ark goes through. It lands on Ararat. Noah goes out. God kept his covenant. And you've got to get into this with your sanctified imagination and think of yourself as Noah and those people living in that ark, and then opening the door and looking out, seeing a whole new terrain, a whole new thing, except that down there in the valley, he saw a McDonald's. And so he thought, well, life is going to be okay. But here it's new. And then in Genesis 8:20, we read what Noah did immediately. He got out of the ark. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Noah worshiped the Lord. The first thing that's recorded is that he worships the Lord. He thanks the Lord. And how many times do we pray and pray about a matter that's desperate or tragic or difficult, and God works us through it, and then we go on our merry way without failing to worship and to thank him. Praise that God. For the, Noah worships the Lord. Now, the next covenant is about the fixed flow of nature. Read Genesis 8, 20 to 22. Listen to this. Noah built an altar to the Lord, took of every clean animal, clean bird, and so on. The Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Lord said in his heart, this is the covenant, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Now, where did you hear about that this morning? Before you read it here, you read it and sang about it. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, summer and winter. You see, the author of that psalm caught it from what we just read in the scripture, and it has been true. There is a fixed flow of nature that God controls. And day follows day, and night follows night, and we have summer and winter, except when El Nino comes along and ruins everything. No, it's a slight disturbance under God's control. The Oklahoma tornadoes are under God's control. And we need to be very thankful for that, or the disorders of nature would destroy life. There would be tornadoes and earthquakes and storms everywhere that would destroy our life if God did not control the wind and the waves and the storms of life. And it would have been worse. So here is a covenant that affects our life this morning and the way we live from day to day and night to night. Here we are, established by God in his covenant for life after the flood. And we're planning, the sun's going to go down today and nighttime's going to be here. And we're planning that tomorrow morning the alarm clock will ring and we'll knock it off the bedstand. And we just count on that because of God who established it. What is life after the flood? Well, God is declaring what it's going to be. There is a fixed flow of nature. Now, another thing that God established in covenant that affects our life this morning is that man is given rule or dominion over creation. Genesis 9, 1 and 2. In Genesis 9, 1 and 2, we read, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, bird of the air, all that move on the earth, the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and so on. This is dominion theology. Man has been given dominion over creation. Rule over the creation. Man is not created for nature, creation. It's created for man. It's for us to use, not for nature to use us. Now we have today in our day extremists who are putting animals and birds and beasts above human life. That's wrong. The green people and the environmentalists go way too far in their supposed attitude to protect certain areas. They diminish the care and protection of human life. Humans come first, not animals and not trees or anything in nature. Creation is for men. God gave us dominion over the animal world and over nature as such. A third covenant that God made that establishes life for us on the earth is the first part of verse 3, chapter 9. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. This is new. Up to that point, human beings had been vegetarians. They did not eat flesh. They did not kill animals or birds and eat them. Now, meat is in your diet. Meat becomes food. Now, if there are people who, for dietary sake, want to be vegetarians, that's wonderful. They're free to do that. But they ought not to be against killing an animal for food. There's nothing wrong with that. It's established by God. Meat becomes food. And if you choose to eat meat, you're free to do that. God establishes that. And it's a way of life for us this morning. What is life after the flood? And what is life for us this morning? Why, we are living the things that God made happened right here, right after they walked out of the ark. Now, here's another very important thing established by God, Genesis 9, 4 and 5, and so on. How does God view human life? Verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is the blood. Surely for your life blood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man, from the hand of every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. Here is a statement about the sacredness of life. How does God view human life? He created humans in his image. And life is God's property. Don't mess with it. Well, what is really established here? Capital punishment. It's biblical. It's of God. This is what He ordains, and it is right. Capital punishment is not murder. Murder is when you and I personally take another life. That's forbidden. Capital punishment is ordained for governments to keep peace and take care of a nation, and is right. Government should carry out capital punishment. Now, there are those today who cry against this, while at the same time, those same people promote pornography and all kinds of things that are wrong about life. Yet they pretend to be so concerned, they cry out against it. A nation that observes capital punishment will have crime diminished to nothing. And that's an overstatement, to very little. It's the right thing. Now this is the way God ordained life to be. How does what God is saying here in Genesis affect us this morning? He said, populate the earth. Bring forth abundantly in the earth. Populate the earth. It's right. Marriage is right. It is right and godly for a man to marry a woman to marry a man, and that they bring forth children and populate the earth. That is right. That is godly. That is biblical. That is what God ordained. And that's what is going on through these thousands of years as God ordained it. That affects our life this morning. For us to live in families and to have the earth populated. This is right. Another thing that affects our life this morning is in Genesis 9:15. God said, I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. God will never again destroy mankind by a flood. Now, we've had some pretty severe floods, but the whole earth has never been destroyed. God has kept His word. There will be no destruction by flood. But there will be a destruction. And Peter writes about that in the New Testament. It'll be by fire. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. There shall be a new heaven and a new earth, renovated, cleansed. But it'll be by fire. Now, next Sunday, we want to get into what the New Testament commentary says all about this, Noah and what happened here, and the sin and the coming of Christ. The Lord Jesus Himself said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days in the coming of the Son of Man. So there's a parallel we have to look at here. When is the Lord coming? We're not to know the day or the hour. But we can look at certain things, the lifestyle of human beings. When He will come, and the judgment will be by fire. Here is the promise, no destruction by flood. Now, the last thing in this covenant is in verse 16. God's promise. the rainbow shall be in the cloud. I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Now you notice that God is saying, this is a covenant between himself and Noah, but also to the rest of us. Now this is the sign of assurance. What is it? Well, it's a rainbow. And to this day, a rainbow is very intriguing and interesting. If one human being sees a rainbow, they always tell another, oh, look, there's a rainbow. And while some have no spiritual meaning to it, it should be very meaningful to us because of what we read here. It's given by God as a reminder that God always keeps his word. God always keeps every promise. And as you think about life and how it is, and an artist being able to use colors, just think of the colors in that rainbow. Where did they come from? God himself. God is the original artist who had colors and put them in that rainbow given by God as a comforting reminder. God always keeps his word. And you and I need to have promises of God to live on. Do you have a promise that you go by, that you run to for life? I have many. Take me through difficult times, phone calls that I dread, phone calls that I don't want to make, situations that I don't want to encounter. The promises of God are great. So let all of this of life after the flood, arranged by God, be of help and comfort to us this morning as we go through life and understand that how we are living is God ordained, and that we should surrender and obey life as God arranged it. May God rest his blessing upon this text to our hearts today. Heavenly Father, we need you and your promises in our life. And we thank you that you have not left us in confusion and just wandering about on our own, attempting to figure out how to live or how life should be. We thank you that early here to Noah, you gave a direction and your covenants. And we thank you that they are in place today. And we ask that you would cause us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to be surrendered people, obedient people, living and walking according to your covenant. May life be that way in our country. Lord, restore to us again the power of capital punishment, the power of godly marriages, and help us to populate this earth with godly children and young people who will carry on into the next generations. Lord God, rest your blessing upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.